Quest for Truth, Episode 311.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here is your host, making moles out of a groundhog, Keith Helsley.
So away we go with another installment of Quest for Truth. And here I am, your host Keith, once again, a little more or less alone here in Church House Studios, but once again, I will be joined by our infamous or famous guest host, Chris the Wild Moose.
Yeah.
Yeah, there he is.
Still wild and crazy.
The Wild and Woolly Moose.
They sound like they know what they're talking about.
Nathan, last time it seems like he was recovering from some illness. This week he couldn't join us because he wasn't sure of his work schedule, but we may be able to squeeze in a couple audio clips that he did send to me regarding our topic of the day. So we'll see how that works out, if I can pipe him in here after a bit. Hey, before we get a-going, I do have probably a little bit of housekeeping we like to take care of in our show. And that is, this is a reminder that we do have our new email series out there on our webpage. Right at the top, it says something like, "Have you heard the good news? The gospel message, six installments or six lessons." And in listening to other people's podcasts, you know, the gospel, the word gospel gets tossed around so much, it doesn't mean what it ought to mean. And so hopefully the six-part series will explain it in a well-rounded way and give you a full understanding of what it's all about, going from God's provision to our sin, to what's wrong with the world and why we need to have a Savior. Too often, especially in our culture of social justice, it doesn't get seen that way. I also want to apologize in case our audio sounds a little bit wonky. Hey, we're going low tech. We don't exactly have, you know, studio mic a piece for us to talk into and sound all Mr. Radio quality. So if there's some issues with that, I apologize about that. For my sound checks, it should come out okay. So with those bits of housekeeping, before we get our main topic, hey, let's listen to a fast word from some of the folks at the Christian Podcast Community, which we are a part of. You can find them at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org, the ministry of striving for eternity.
Life Song Radio with Blake Shankle, Phil Ramsey, and Tom Hammond. Life Song Radio is a weekly podcast designed to teach and study God's Word line by line, verse by verse, and also teach those listening how to study the Word for themselves. And let me tell you, these three guys, you talk about a deep dive into the Bible. If you think we go deep on our monthly Truth Exposed, these guys go deeper. We may cover a whole passage. They might stick on one verse and really get to all the meaning in that, in its context, expository. And it is definitely worth the listen. And they're easy to understand, so don't be scared off. They're not going to talk to you in deep theological terms. They talk in words everybody can understand. So check them out on ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. Click on the button towards the bottom of the page that says Shows. You'll find a big list of all the shows. Scroll down till you find the Life Song Radio. Click it, subscribe, click on the email link, and let them know how you found them.
Two great books and one website. Visit scribingforeternity.org. There are two books that I would like to recommend you purchase. What they, meaning people who aren't Christians, other religions believe, and what we believe. Systematic Theology Made Simple. Both are great resources, especially if you plan on witnessing to somebody. scribingforeternity.org.
And there's that. Hope you check them out. Check out their podcasts. Check out their books. Those folks who have books. It's definitely worthy causes. Lots of smart people there. Probably a lot smarter than me. So, anyhow, here we are with our main topic.
Main topic.
And as last week, we talked about being woke from a biblical standpoint from the Old Testament. And I want to say that the New Testament, it approaches being woke in much the same way. There's instances where it just means to wake up from a sleep. For a couple of examples, in Matthew 2, verses 13 and followed by verse 20, and this is from the NASB, by the way. Now, when they had gone, behold, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain in Egypt until I tell you, for the Herod is going to destroy the child." Kind of rushed through the last part there. But the point there is, get up. This is how it translates, this word, to wake up, as if to wake up from a sleep. And verse 20 is very similar. It says, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead." So we see the Joseph gets this message to wake up from his sleep. Get up and go. And of course he does. So this is how it's used in that instance. Oh, there's the word. Egero is the word that underscores that. I think I said it right. To wake up in a wide variety of senses.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah. It's all Greek to us. What do we know? I wouldn't know if I didn't have the dictionary entry sitting right there in my notes. But the other common use of the word awake in the New Testament means to be alert. And we find this in Matthew 24. We're going to kind of review the first 40 or so verses, so this is going to go pretty quick. But if we kind of skim some stones here, in verse 24, it says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Therefore, be on the alert, for you don't know what day the Lord is coming." Now, when it says, "For false prophets and Christ will arise," that's that word, egero. But when it says, "Be on the alert, you don't know the day the Lord is coming," that is a different word that means awake. I know Nathan Caldwell is going to read us a verse, Matthew 24, verse 43. So I won't steal his thunder, other than to say that if the head of the house knew what time the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert.
Hey, sorry for any background noise. We're doing a little bit of grilling out here with the family. So you get what you get, I guess. Regarding being awake in the New Testament, being woke, as they say, in the New Testament, the first thing that came to mind was when Jesus said, well, let's read it. Uh, Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You know, the Lord is coming, as the Bible says. This is what I was thinking of, is when the Bible says the Lord is coming as a thief in the night, where you do not know. You do not know when he is coming. I remember Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." And the idea that I was under the impression of when it said quickly, and others have taught, is that it's not talking about he's going to come in 2 seconds. It's talking about he's going to come, and when he comes, that's it. It's quick. It's sudden. It's going to happen when you don't even know it's going to happen, and then it's going to be done, and what you deal with, your rewards or your lack thereof, or your penalty if you do not know Christ, that will be what you deal with then. There won't be a time to fix it once Jesus comes. So we need to be aware, not necessarily, I mean, you know when a thief is coming into your house. You don't know when it's going to happen, but you know when it happens, because you hear the glass break. But by then, it's too late. So it's not a matter of, but what do you do for the thief? You prepare your house to make sure it's burglar-proof. That's what you do. And it's the same way with Jesus coming. You prepare your life, and you prepare your family for the coming of the Lord.
So, you know, the point is, to be, you know, air quotes, woke, according to the way that the New Testament use is, just means to be on the alert, to be aware. And the Greek word behind that is Gregorio, which, if you think about it, is where we get our English word gregarious. And what does that mean? I don't know what it means.
pretty sure it has something to do with being named Greg.
Yeah, a pope or something like that. Now, when you think of gregarious, you think of like a bubbly, outgoing personality, somebody who is extremely active and lively, okay? Active and lively would be the key verbiage there. And what I would say about being aware and awake, I have a pretty fair amount of history in the military, and I've probably stood more guard posts than the average bear in my active duty career. That I was on the Marine Corps Security Force Company for at least 3 years. So there's a lot of posts to be stood. And that's your job, is to stay alert, to stay aware. And even though it's utterly boring, you literally stand in one spot or you move around within your post, and you're there for 4 hours at a time in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., and it is as boring as you can utterly imagine. You stay awake, you stay alert, and you stay aware. And there's things you do to make sure you stay alert and stay aware. And a lot of it has to do with the what if situation. You know, like, what if the thief broke into the house? What would I do? What if suddenly a car came zooming up to my post? What would I do? And you run these exercises through your mind. What would I do? Where would the avenue of approach be? What if something happened right now? Could I make it to the phone to call, you know, the hotline to the guard shack to get a reactionary force out here? What do I do if a drunk came up and didn't want to leave my post or something? These things you process through the rules of engagement. You don't want to use deadly force on the dude just because he's drunk, but you want to make sure he leaves if he doesn't belong there. So you have to be aware of the rules. How do we get our rules? Well, you need to know Scripture. What does Scripture say about being alert, woke? So that's, you know, kind of a real world application of this. Now, I thought I had this written down, but in verse 42 is going to be an anchor verse. But we could even use this one that Nathan just read, verse 43, about the thief breaking in, being alert. So I'm going to hammer this all the way through this. But let's back up to take this in context. Matthew, starting with chapter 24, verse 1, I'm going to run through quickly. Jesus was at the temple, and the disciples were admiring it, and he points out the future destruction that will come. It'll be so severe that not one stone will be left upon another. He answers the disciples' important question, when, why, you know, and he says, many will come, deceiving. He warns about wars, rumors of wars. But even when nations rise against nations, it won't be the end. It won't be the end times yet. Well, he goes on to say famines and earthquakes are only the birth pains. There will be tribulation, killing. There'll be tribulations, and many will be killed and even hated. Many will fall away and turn each other in. Many will be deceived. Now, I think this might be the era that we live in. Jesus goes on to say that lawlessness will increase. But the enduring one, the one who endures to the end, will be saved. So if through all this garbage, wars, rumors of wars, even if nations attack, even when you're being hated and persecuted and turned in, these are just birth pangs, earthquakes, birth pangs. But if you get through all this and you're still hanging on to your faith, this is the person who's going to be saved.
I don't know why anybody would want to dislike us. I mean, we're both friendly guys.
Yeah. We're likable. We're friendly. But the end times will also come about when the gospel will be taught to all nations. And then the end comes. So people like to point to, oh my gosh, look how horrible the government is. Look how horrible the world is. Surely Jesus will come at any moment. You know, we're still in the birth pangs. We're still in the buildup. Once the gospel has been preached around the world, now the end comes. If you talk to missionaries, we're not quite there yet, but we're getting close. Let's take a pause right there. We've actually got up to just the first four verses or so there. But let's ask the wild moose here some things about wokeism. I know you have a couple of things you want to, or at least one. Give us one point there, wokeism.
Oh, right.
He wasn't woke. He wasn't wicked.
Well, according to the source, if you want to be woke and be a good woke person, you just got to pick your pronouns properly and scream them at everybody at the top of your lungs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's a good way to get people to know that you're woke.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we have our announcer, as he, you know, says things about us innocent, sweet little innocent hosts. One of the things we have him say is,
their pronouns aren't he, she, or even them. Here are your majesty and your honor.
So we kind of poke fun at that sometimes in our opening.
That's right, Keith. Jesus told the Jews, don't pack, don't get your stuff together. When you see this happening, this abomination of desolation, as spoken by Daniel the prophet, you turn tail and you head for the hills. Why? Because it is urgent that you do so. It's a dangerous situation. This is serious business. And that reminds me of something else. On a similar note, just like you said they have been warned, or you have been warned. We are told many times, especially Luke 16 is one of those times, about the dangers of hell. Revelation talks about the dangers of hell. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to make sure we know where we are going when we die. Because once the time comes, we have already been warned.
But Jesus continues that Daniel's, you know, at this point, when the end comes, that Daniel's abomination of desolation will be in the temple. You can refer back to the book of Daniel and see what that's all about. And when that happens, run for the hills, because once you get past all this persecution, earthquakes, wars, and you see the temple being desecrated, run for the hills. Don't pause to take supplies from a house. Don't, if you're in a field, don't grab your coat. Just get up and go. You don't want to waste time gathering things. Just run for the hills.
Something scary is happening. Get moving as fast as possible.
Now, Jesus goes on to caution his disciples that when this end time moment comes and you're heading for the hills, he says, woe for the pregnant women who have young or nursing children. Because, see, it's going to be rough. You got a little kid in tow, and you got to run for your life, basically, for the hills to take shelter. Having that small of a dependent is going to be rough. Rough on the mother and rough on the child. And pray that the flight won't be in the winter or on the Sabbath. Why? Because in the winter, where are you going to glean food from? If it happens on the Sabbath and you're a good Jew, you're not supposed to go more than a certain distance from your home, and you'll want to flee as far and fast as you possibly can. There'll be great tribulation, and these tribulation days will only be cut short for the sake of the elect. And this takes us up to verses 19 through 22 there. So there's some people talk about how nice Jesus would be to come back yet. But you notice something in all this decline of culture and society, Jesus hasn't come back yet. It just says how bad it's going to be. But when it happens, you need to react fast. People like to store up, you know, ammunition or gold. You're not going to have time to go find that. You're not going to have the time to stop by the bank and withdraw it. Whatever you have on your body is all you will have. So I appreciate folks out there who like to stockpile these things, but you're not going to have time.
Yeah, just hope he doesn't come while you're taking a shower.
Yeah, really. Or on the toilet or something. Yeah. But he goes on to say, don't be deceived by false teachers. False teachers waking from sleep. I don't have the verse to quote it, but waking from sleep. That verb appears here. Although this must be verse 24. We just read it a little earlier. The false prophets will be waking on their own as if from sleep. And they'll do false signs and false wonders. They'll appear, you know, if you think of all these televangelists who do these amazing things on the camera, and it's all just charlatan, you know, vaudeville tricks. Jesus says, you have been warned. So these are the things to stay woke, air quotes, for. These are the things to be alert for. You know, imagine yourself on that sentry's post, standing around. This is the thing that should be going through your mind. What would I do if right now somehow an alert buzzed on my phone saying Daniel's desolation is in a temple? you know, I'm going to drop what I'm doing and just take off a run.
Yeah.
But let's take a pause here. You have another of our woke-isms that we should do, being good little woke citizens.
Oh, yeah. Just remember, in order to test other people's wokeness, their loyalty to the cause, you need to identify as a walrus and force them to bark at you like a walrus, and if cancel anybody who doesn't do it because they clearly are not part of the cause.
Okay. Hey, Chris. That must be your pronoun. It's your love language of wokeness,
I guess. I guess I could have replaced that with moose.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, Chris. Whatever the sound of moose makes that
Everybody make moose calls at me.
Moose call. Yeah. So, hey, that's just a little bullet point of wokeism. Of course, we're being silly about that part. But as Matthew continues on with verse 24 here, do not follow or be swayed by false teachers. The Son of Man's return will be as swift and visible as lightning. Jesus says, vultures gather on the corpse. After the tribulation, the skies will darken, heaven shaken. All tribes will mourn, seeing his great glory. The angels will gather the elect. This is taking us up to verse 31 there. Now, I think we mentioned briefly before we started recording that, hey, when this day comes, people will mourn. When Jesus actually does come back, nations will mourn. The only people who's going to be excited about this will be people who are believers. That's the only people who will be excited. But at this point is when it says angels will come to gather the elect. And when Jesus comes, it won't be a matter of, oh, look over there, there's a televangelist that says he does miracles. Oh, look over there, there's somebody who's preaching that you can have prosperity. These people are not Jesus. Jesus, when he comes, it will not only be as swift as lightning, but you can imagine on a dark and stormy night, lightning strikes, you know it. There is no, hey, I think there was some lightning outside.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it instantly, as soon as it happens, just as surely as the lightning will darken brighten the dark sky. Now, Jesus doesn't come and then he's gone. He comes as quickly as that, as surely as that. Everyone knows who it is and what it is. And if you're not part of the elect, oh, it's time to cry. But the elect at this point are now gathered. But the elect still, apparently, according to this timeline, have to go through a spell of tribulation and hardship and run for the hills before Jesus actually comes back. Now, Jesus pops in a fig tree parable here. He says, when a season is right, the fig tree puts forth its buds. So just like you know when the fig tree is about ready to put off figs, you need to watch for this season. And you know, we used to have an apple tree in our yard when we were kids, and you didn't have to wonder if apples were on the tree. They were there or they weren't there. You know, in the fall, you know, everything, all the leaves fall off. If there's any residual apples, they all kind of fall off. And you know all winter long, hey, you're looking at this skeletal-looking tree. There ain't no apples on it. But you know when spring comes, the grass turns green. Hey, look, the apple tree's all green. There's no apples on it yet. And suddenly one day, little flowers appear all over the tree. And you know that every one of those flowers is a future apple. But they're not, it's not an apple yet. And then the flowers will shrivel up. But it's not an apple yet. And then the flowers turn into buds and they start to bulge and grow. Now the apples are not apples yet, but you can see them take shape. And then one day you notice that these smallish looking green apples have really swelled up and they're starting to turn red. Oh, now you got apples.
You got apples, son.
And you can go out there and pick bushel baskets of those babies and you'll have them put away for the winter to have, you know, all manner of apple things.
Apple-y goodness.
All right. But just as surely as you see the signs of a tree like that, as a Christian, you should be able to see the signs of what's happening. And Jesus has told us, you know, watch for deceivers to come, false teachers. Watch for wars, rumors of wars. When people start to hate you and persecute you and turn you in, this is not the end yet. It's just the beginning. You know, when Jesus comes, it's going to be a point where, yeah. You know, if he doesn't come for the elect, there's no hope for anybody. And if you're not the elect, you're going to be a hurt locker, as the old Navy Marine Corps saying goes.
Ah, the signs of the times. I'm not an expert, but I'll tell you, one of the signs was Israel coming together to be a nation again, having their land again. They don't have all of it, but they're sure in the proper place for it. I'll tell you another thing. Sin is more rampant now than it ever was. And I really think that that's a sign of the times. And I really think we should be aware and alert. Maybe you could say awakened to this.
But Jesus assures us that this promise he made will happen. He says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not. And of course, you know, his word is the word of God itself. His word is scripture itself. You know, through God's word is how he created our universe we live in anyway. And it'll be through his word that our universe goes away, not through any stupid things that mankind does to the earth. But he compares this to Noah's day. The day is known only by God. And just as in Noah's day, people were having marriage, they were feasting, right up to the day Noah went in the ark and the raindrops fell. He uses the analogy that people in a field, people working at a mill, one's taken and one is left. Now finally, our focus verse 42. Therefore, be on the alert. There's that word again. For you do not know which day the Lord is coming. So our call, we are to be, air quotes, woke Christians. We are to be on the alert. We are to be aware. But we're not to be aware of cultural changes, supposedly the Equality Act, I think you're calling it, where everybody is equal, women are equal to men are equal to women. Essentially, they're saying that men and women are interchangeable and sexuality is fluid. That's not what we're supposed to be woke for. This is some of those false teachings they're talking about. Now, do you have another one of your woke quotes there?
Two of them kind of flow together.
Yeah, sure.
Because the one was, compare everything to Nazis.
compare everything to Nazis.
The next one was compare everything to Nazis as long as you're Democrat. If you're Republican, you might get fired.
Yeah. So anything you don't like, it's a Nazi. This is the kind of cultural wokeness. The Christians aren't, this is all things we should ignore because it's just dumb. But for some reason, the people in our world are blinded to this kind of stupidity. And if there's anything we need to be woke to, air quotes, is we should be woke to the fact that Jesus is coming. But we can't say, oh, this next cloud could be it. Well, we haven't had the wars and rumors of wars, or nations rising against nations, and earthquakes. These are all the birth pangs leading up, just the beginning. So we're not quite there yet, but we don't need to let our guard down, because you don't know how fast things might fall apart. There could be the way our nation is trying to redo relationships with Iran or Iraq, give them nukes. Well, yeah, I can just see it. President gives them the nukes, and they don't care. They'll nuke us. How fast would that happen? This is how fast it could change. Some of the laws that are trying to be enacted right now are so dumb. They're actually detrimental. I don't care what side of the party line you're on. They're just detrimental, and they could really take things down fast. So be on the alert. I'd like to think that the end won't come in my lifetime, but you need to be on the alert. You need to be, air quotes, woke. I'm sorry I didn't have much of an attention to talk, but I knew this would be a long thing with our longer passage.
Well,
so do you have any to kind of end on maybe a lighter note? Any kind of wokeness issues that spring to mind?
Well, before I get into that, I do know that at some point we mentioned Jesus coming like a thief, and I would like to say it on air that basically the quickness at which Jesus shows up is like a horror movie monster. You open the door, see him in front of you, shut the door, and you run away. And then suddenly he's in front of you, and he's like, ah! But if you're saved, of course, it's a good thing. But
to the unbelievers, that would be a horror movie when Jesus comes back.
But the final point would be always loudly acknowledge the skin color of the people you're talking to and make that the main point of your conversation.
Yeah, oh, Mr. Black Man, I really like black people. They're black people, so great. Yeah. Be really obvious about your white guilt. Well, there was something I had in my own. I just heard yesterday there was somebody talking about how there was supposed to be a religious guy, some well-known dude who I don't know who he is, saying that God is all for people and he wouldn't inhibit them in any way and he wouldn't judge them. So therefore, we need to have all this social justice wokeism to show, just how self-righteous we are. He didn't say it in those words, but that's what he was saying.
Right.
And I thought, God doesn't judge. Guess what? Read John 3, something like 34, 36. You are judged already. God does judge. Are judged already. You know what? I think Nathan Caldwell has a comment about that.
Yeah.
I came across another one in Jude. Jude verse 4. Jude 1 through 3, he talks about how he was wanting to write about the fellowship they had, everybody being saved there. And he said, I had to write something different. He said, I had to write that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. And he says, verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These people were saying, well, there's grace, so you can do whatever you want to. There's grace, so go ahead and sin. And that is not the right attitude. That is not the right attitude. And so he said, I have to warn you, there are certain people here that are you're not aware of. There's that alertness again. We need to be aware of the teaching that is going on in our church. And we need to be aware and make sure that they're teaching the truth.
So yeah, God, we are judged. God, does God inhibit us from having something like gay marriage? Well, heck yeah, he does. Because people are like, who gives God the right to dictate what the rules ought to be? We are self-righteous humanitarians. You can't be doing that, because you just might find out that your rules don't cut it whenever God comes back.
Yeah.
And like you said, terrifying horror movie monster on your doorstep.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help either whenever you get a certain group of people who decide that they want to make these rules, and then once the rules are used against them, they go, we're going to change the rules now.
Oh, yeah, you know, funny you mentioned that. We're kind of going down bunny trails here because we're kind of winding down to the end of the show. But I just saw in the news this morning, they're talking about the, what's it called, filibuster. And they were saying how just 2 years ago, Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, was all for the filibuster. It should be guarded as to preserve Congress as we know it. And if we don't have it, it'll be the end of our democracy. Well, guess what? He just announced this morning, we should end it because it gives too much power to the minority group. Like, wow, he just flip-flopped, like did a hard 180 on that. It couldn't be because your party is in power, is it? He asked sarcastically, rhetorically.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, this is some of the crazy wokeism. Hey, if you're in government, you got to be fair on both sides, because if you do, let's say he did vote for, let's do it with the filibuster, and let's say in 2 years, Republicans take over. Oh my gosh, we need to have it back. Well, you can't get rid of it when it suits you and do it when it suits you. It's either fair for all or it's not fair for all. And This is what I mean by the government. Any day, I mean, they could make some cattywampus, goofy rules and just tear everything to pieces. And
yeah,
it could be the end coming soon. You know. Back in the old days, we used to close with a final thought. And I saw this on Twitter the other day. I thought, I need to mention this. Most things worth doing in this life are going to kill you in the end. Dun, dun, dun. That's the quote. So I guess it might work. You know, if you're a Christian in this life, it'll kill you in the end. But if you do stupid stuff like the wokeism folks do, oh yeah, you're definitely going to end up on the short end of that stick. Oh, anyhow, that's all I got for our show.
Hooray.
So let's, squeeze in a fast word from the Christian podcast community.
Did you know that Striving Fraternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible interpretation made easy, creation science, evangelism, presuppositional apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
Hey, I want to talk about Kootenai Church Morning Worship with Jim Osmond.
Now, this verse-by-verse preaching podcast features a Sunday morning worship service of Kootenai Community Church. And let me tell you, Kootenai is spelled K-O-O-T-E-N-A-I. And it's worth the listen. It is their morning worship service, but Jim Osmond does an excellent job at presenting the scripture in his sermon and going through it in an expository way, line by line and verse by verse and word by word, bringing everything out in its context so you get the meaning of what scripture actually says and not what you want it to say. So find them at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Click on the button towards the bottom that says shows. You'll find their listing, Kootenai Community Church, in there. Click it, subscribe, and enjoy. And don't forget to drop them a line and tell them how you heard about them. And then we'll close. Thanks for that word there from the ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. This is where I say, this is your host, Keith, saying thanks for listening, signing off. See you next week. Tell a friend about us. Hey, leave us a rating review if you want. Never hurts. But hey, check out our webpage, our new gospel email series, and see you next week.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.